This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
Yeah. All right, we're halfway home here on Ben and Woods. It is a Thursday. Great to be here with you this morning, having a lot of fun on the program today and every day, day by day. I'm Woodsy, that's Paul Reindl, the executive producer. Ben Higgins, your friendly neighborhood sports anchor, joins us as well. Ben is a real mensch, and he's a tough guy to buy gifts for.
God, he's tough.
Because
I'll own that.
We always do a gift exchange at Christmas, and our Christmas and holiday show is coming up on December 20th. And mark your calendars. Take the day off so you can sit home with a glass of eggnog in your PJs and watch the program live on YouTube. It's always fun.
You know, when we had our Ben and Woods Open back in June, it was on a Wednesday. It was a company holiday, so it worked out well for us to have the day. And I think a lot of people did have the day off, but there were a lot of people that said, I can't make it on a Wednesday.
Yep.
We've had the extravaganza on Wednesdays and Thursdays.
It's tough.
Like, guys, I can't do it. This is the Friday before the holidays.
Just take it off.
The last Friday of the year for us.
Yep.
Like, take the day off.
Take it off. And I may even get drunk at the holiday extravaganza this year, just so you know.
I mean, you're not allowed to do that on the air. Right?
I think we're going on vacation. I have some drinks that day.
Just have a cup like this.
Yeah.
You never know.
Mama's wine, right? Just in a little coffee tumbler, like all the moms at Little League. So what I was going to say is, we do a gift exchange amongst the three of us. You're very difficult to buy for it. I don't know what to buy for you this year.
Now, so,
I was going over the gifts that I bought you in the past. I bought you some good gifts. Didn't I get you some AirPods?
Yeah, that was good. The headphones was a great gift
but
for my birthday.
Have you ever used the AirPods? Be honest.
Yeah, I use them for work all the time.
You do?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they
all
hook
right,
up to my computer, and I use them at work when I'm editing. Actually, I use it now when I'm on remote. Like when I went to Viejas Arena on Monday and did my live shots, instead of plugging in with the cord, it's a lot easier just to put one AirPod in my ear,
Then
I can hear the studio back over the phone is how we do that on the live shots.
I
use that. Now, do I use it the way you do it to just like listen to music?
No.
Not rarely.
About podcasts? Golf podcasts?
Usually I'll listen to those in my car. So I don't have AirPods into my car.
I got you a rangefinder, which was a giant waste.
Use that
of
all
money.
The time.
You never do.
I use it every single time I play.
Are you sure?
100%.
Because I played with you and you didn't use it. In fact, I think you were like, do you want it back?
No, I do use it.
Because I lost mine again.
100% of the time.
Right.
I use it every round.
Good.
I got you last year the like 10 pack of nice basic t-shirts.
He wears those. He's got
those
one on
almost
right
every
now.
Because
I was sick of seeing you. You said you got
you guys have actually done a really good job of gift giving. And I will say my Things Ben Likes birthday present.
Well, so there was funny.
There was a bunch of junk. My favorite, the Smarties rolls.
Yeah.
I have one every single day. It was a nice little bag. And I've been treating myself since my birthday with the Smarties roll single day.
How much of that did you keep?
I kept about 70%
of it. Okay, that's kind of what we figured. We knew
there was a lot of staples in there, like peanut butter.
Did you eat the corn?
The corn I have not, no.
You still have it?
I have.
You can throw it away.
Oh, yeah.
I think an ear of corn.
I think I threw away the corn.
All right. So this year, I got Paulie last year. He wanted a turntable, so I got him a turntable. You got him a gift card to get some records.
You got me good, because I mentioned earlier in the year like, that I was looking at a record player, wanted to get into it, and you're like, bro, it's such an expensive hobby. Like, just stay out of there. And I was asking, it's like, hey, I'm between this one or this one. Like, do you have any recommendations? You're like, I wouldn't.
And I wouldn't.
You totally got
then
me.
Then I got you. So what are we doing this year?
I do pride myself actually a little bit on being a good
listening
gift
and
giver.
Yeah.
And yeah, I'll pick up on cues and go out and get a gift, whether it's for you guys, my wife, family, whatever. Like you tried to buy yourself a gold record.
Yep.
A custom gold record framed and all that. Yeah. And then you found out you didn't order it right.
He printed it off.
It was just a piece of paper that was framed that had a gold record on it. So I got you the actual gold record.
Mm-hmm. It's amazing.
I've been thinking about it for weeks now. I have zero idea what to get you guys.
He's going to suggest that we just get each other nothing.
That's the best present. And then you don't have to worry about it. But I think it becomes harder to get the longer you know someone.
Yes.
You think, it's going to get, you know them better, it's going to get easier. It actually gets harder to give gifts to a spouse, to, you know, close friends, the longer you know someone, the tougher it becomes to come up with a good present. Because you've already done the ones you really, kind of the ones that you thought, oh, this would be good, this would be good, and then all of a sudden, a couple of years, and I've run out of decent ideas.
For Ben, it's always, I want to buy him something that he won't buy himself. Paulie and I are...
Which is pretty much everything.
Paul and I are, like, if Paul wants something, Paul gets it. If I want something, I just get it, right? Mm-hmm. Pretty much. Like, I don't deprive myself of a lot of things. He will deprive himself. And I'm
That's
like,
why we've talked about the headphones, the AirPods, the basic T-shirts. Like, we get you stuff that you
probably should be buying yourself.
Which is, you yeah, won't correct.
And I've loved all those gifts.
So. What I really want to get him, but I can't afford, I want to send him to, like, Nordstrom because he's lost 50 pounds and still wears some old 39 or 40 waists, and you're like a 34 now, right? Are you 34?
I'm not a 34. I'm 36.
Okay, yeah, you 36. Used to be a 40.
40, yeah.
Right. You've come down that much, and he won't buy himself new pants. Now, I'm not going to go buy him pants. I would like to send him on a Pretty Woman Beauty Day and let them tailor you up some nice pants.
I've gotten a few. We got our new Lululemon pants.
Yeah,
that
I mean, for work and stuff.
Yeah. I mean, it's different nowadays, though. I don't have to wear, like, a perfect suit every day. It's more casual than it used to be, so I don't like to overdo it.
What about truck nuts for your car?
That's
would you
perfect.
Put those on?
Yeah, perfect. Yeah.
On your back of your BMW.
That's a gift for you.
I don't want those.
No. Giving it to me is a gift for you to make you laugh. That's not a gift for me.
All right. Well, if you guys think of anything that we can get, if you've picked up on any clues.
And I tend to be a procrastinator when it comes especially to holiday gifts. But I will say, and I don't think she's listening right now, I actually bought my wife her Christmas present this week, which I rarely do. But she did. She started talking about, like, something she saw that was, like, cool that she wasn't going to buy for herself. And she thought, oh, I think a friend might like it, but secretly I love it. And I didn't know if she was dropping a hint or, because usually she's probably beyond the point where I'm going to pick up on that. But I did pick up on it, and I just went right away, and I got, okay, I know you want that. I'm just going to buy it for you right now. And
my wife said, don't get me anything. No presents. I'm like, great.
See, that's a mean trick.
It's a mean trick, and it's a trap. And I don't like it very much. So if anybody's heard any tips of what, like, things that Ben wants, we all know what you like. We got you as much of the things that you like as we could.
Get Ben the nicest flip-flops you can find.
No, what does he want that he won't buy?
Because that is the best gift, right?
Well, because he's passionless, so I don't know what his passions are. We discovered that yesterday. Your passions are golf. I'm not buying any.
I do buy myself golf when I play, so I will do that.
You do. What a Ben wants, what a Ben needs. Pedicure, we did that. We've done all this stuff.
That was fun.
Fur-lined Crocs. Would you wear those? No, probably not. Hey there, Delilah. And we know what he likes, Matt. Matt says, you know what he likes. I know what he likes. We gave him 70% of the things he likes on his birthday. But what does he want? What does he need? What is a good gift for our beloved Benny?
He said Dodgers tickets.
More of a gift for us.
You know what's really tough is that the thing that I would really appreciate is someone to take care of the little things that no one likes to do. Like when your car needs, like, take my car to Valvoline Instant Oil Change.
I do not want to be a valet for you. No. I am, you know me.
Not your butler.
I'll give you money. I will not give you time.
See, that's what I really need. It's time.
Time. You got two kids. I'd put my kids to work before you put me to work.
I'm sending one of them to the service place today.
Do the Lakers have fantasy camp that you
and
I can split?
Get your ass out of bed. Get your ass down to Valvoline right now. I'm telling you. No, he's got golf balls, Oscar. He's got all this.
He's got golf balls.
He's got golf balls for days.
Got clubs. I don't like to change things.
No, exactly.
Either, so you have to be careful.
I remember my dad when I was when we were little, you know, we'd buy my dad like some putter. Oh, thanks. And knowing he's like, I'm not gonna use this turd. You know, he's got his putter that he likes.
It's funny because when we were dating, Shelly bought me a putter and I was going, oh, this is
I don't want this. I'm not going
to
use this.
It's like, oh, no. And now I feel like I have to, because when your girlfriend gets you something, you have to use it. And it turns out I still use that putter today.
Yep.
25 years later, I still use
that putter. It's also because you're a cheap turd. That's the other reason
like
is that
putter.
You're a cheap, cheap turd. Maybe it's a new putter. Like a Scotty.
Ooh.
All right.
He's like, I wouldn't say no to that.
Not going to say no to it.
Not going to say no to that.
Not going to say no to that. All right, Foster, if you're listening, get
what
on
do you
it.
Want?
I don't know. I don't know. I got it all.
So what do you get the guy that's got everything?
I got it all. I really, I don't want for anything. Nothing. I want for nothing. Unless it's a Rolex. I don't expect you guys to go in on a Rolex. It's the only thing I want.
That you I really do want a Rolex.
I really do.
See, I wouldn't want a Rolex.
I always have. Always wanted one.
How much is
like 10,000? Like 10? The one I want is like 10 grand, which I can't bring myself to.
You'd have to have such stupid money, I think, because I
what's an investment?
It'd be cool to have, but
they never go down.
But you're like, bro, I can think of a lot of other things that I could use that $10,000 towards.
They never go down in value. So I would have it and I'd pass it down to my kids. Kid. Bo would get it. Taylor's like, cool, man.
The eldest always gets it.
Yeah, the eldest always gets
it. Ben would pass it down to him and say, this was your birthright. This watch.
This watch was your birthright.
Your father.
You sitting, Bo, just sitting there after I'm gone. I carried this uncomfortable piece of metal.
Father.
And I'll be damned. All right. If you guys have any ideas for us, let us know, please. Rod says, pitch in for some Bitcoin. Isn't that like $75,000? No, I don't want a knockoff. I've had knockoff Rolexes. I've never had a nice watch. Never. This is the nicest watch I've ever had, this Garmin. It was fairly expensive, but it isn't.
You got like a $300 Apple.
Yeah,
watch.
It isn't the same as a Rolly.
I'm too practical. You know how I tell the time? It's right here on my phone. I can look at it any time I want. I work in a job where there's big giant clocks everywhere on the wall at both studios.
I'm not a big status type dude. I'm not. I don't have a fancy car.
That's just showing off to have a fancy watch.
It's not.
It's nothing. It's not practical at all.
Always wanted one. I always thought a man should have a really nice watch and a nice pair of shoes. And I got the shoes. I got a nice suit. I got two nice suits. And I just always wanted the watch.
Bitcoin's up to, people are chiming in, 98,000, 96,000.
So you can get me 1/1,000,000,000th of a Bitcoin for Christmas.
That's just one Bitcoin is almost $100,000, just one coin.
One Bitcoin. Nuts.
God, I wish I bought like 20 of those.
Me and you both. I wouldn't be sitting here. You know what I would have? I'd have a freaking Rolex. I would have that Rolex. All right. Well, let us know if you guys have any ideas for the big guy. Pauly, what do you want?
I don't know. You nailed it. You're like, if there's anything throughout the year that either of us want, we just go out and get it.
Just go get it. That's the problem.
If I see something in July that I want, I'm like, I'm not going to wait and hope to get it for Christmas. I'm just going to go buy it.
If my wife says that she doesn't want anything, I guess that means that I'm not getting anything for Christmas from her.
Puck to it.
She'd rather buy me the Rolex. I promise you. I have a better chance of waking up Christmas morning and going, oh my God, a Rolex. You're kidding.
Platinum and gold. You can choose.
Than that. That I promise. By the way, would sign up for it today. Okay? It's a great gift.
Does it have to be a Rolex?
Yes.
Timex, Casio.
No, that's got to be a Rolex. That's what I want.
Hey, I got you a gold Casio.
Man, we'll save all the fake gifts my dad gave me for Christmas for the Christmas show. But I trust me, I've opened up a couple of fake tags in my day, my friend. Dynamite drop, Pauly. Dynamite.
Been sitting on it for about 10 minutes now, just waiting for a good opportunity.
Oh, that's good. That's good. All right. Maybe we'll send Ben to Scotland for his golf trip.
Wouldn't say no.
Yeah,
I
know you
wanted
would.
To go to Scotland. Still need to go to Bandon, Dunes.
Yeah, there's a bunch.
A lot of trips, but you will never give me a trip because that will take me away from the show for too long.
No, but I'll go with you.
Okay. Here's an idea, and I haven't worked it out yet. Is there anything that we, as a unit, the three of us, the threeness,
yes,
can we gift ourselves an experience. Like, we all chip in. We say, we're going to, like kind of like Philly. Like, you know, we said, we're going to Philadelphia.
I feel like
next
that's
year.
A gift for us. That could be all of our Christmas presents.
Somebody said, give you an experience, like falconry. I'll pay for you to do falconry today.
I don't want to do falconry.
Yeah, but I want you
kind
to.
Of scared of birds. I'm kind of scared of birds.
So am I. I'm terrified. I am terrified of birds, dude. Especially falcons, my friend.
So. Let's do that. Let's
no,
take...
I wanted you gifts.
You don't want
to
take...
It's more fun to open
take
something.
The yes. money that we would have spent, pile it all together, and just do like a blowout, unbelievable meal when we go to Philadelphia and treat each other to it.
We're
like
going to do that anyway. We're doing that anyway.
It's got to be completely independent of something that's already on the books.
He's just like my dad. We're just going to add this on. We'll just call this your birthday and your Christmas. No. I want something to open, tangible. It's something that says I love you this much. All right? That's what I want.
It's a lot of pressure.
I know it is, which is part of the fun.
It's not part of the fun.
Oh, it's so good. All right.
We'll take a timeout. Paulie's got a list of movies that make guys openly weep. It's not just Field of Dreams, apparently.
Yeah, it's I didn't heard the term guy cry movies, but you know, there are like dramatic love story movies that everybody watches.
Cry.
These are specific movies that are kind of geared like with masculine topics, cars, sports, whatever, fighting. You know, but these movies can bring
a little tear to your eye.
It's coming up. We still have our football threesome, our Rondle report as well, going until 10 o'clock. It's Ben and Woods checking traffic with Kelly right now on 97.3 The Fan. We'll get to the guy cry movies coming up here in just a couple of minutes. Quickly, just some other baseball notes here as we get to the bottom of the hour. There was a trade yesterday. The Chicago Cubs acquired reliever Eli Morgan from the Cleveland Guardians in exchange for a minor league outfield prospect. Eli Morgan had actually pretty decent numbers. He dealt with some injuries, but had a 1.93 ERA over 42 innings last year for the Guardians. Was kind of a roster crunch. They wanted to get something for him. That's how good the Guardians bullpen was. They have guys you've never even heard of that were pretty solid for them.
They got a stable of dudes.
They do.
Yeah, really, really good. Jose Siri got traded as well.
That's right.
Over the weekend to the Mets. Exciting player, has a lot of raw talent, but you know, needs to focus in on the zone a little bit more. I think strikes out a little bit too much, but he's got some pop, he's got some ability. One of those guys, like he's kind of untapped, you know what I mean? Just a ton of talent. If somebody can harness it, he could be a really, really great player.
Couple of deadlines this week. The one that just passed was the deadline for players to either accept or reject qualifying offers. Mentioned it, the only player who accepted the qualifying offer was Nick Martinez with the Cincinnati Reds. Everybody else opted for free agency, which is not uncommon. Even though $21 million sounds like a lot of money, and it is for 1 year, most guys who are in that position would like to test the free agent market and get multiple year deals. So Nick Martinez was the only one who did accept that qualifying offer.
And he's only the 14th player ever to accept a qualifying offer.
Out of like 144, I think.
Something like that.
So about one in 10.
Yeah. Do you feel when you do that, are you like, oh no, I'm the only one? Like isn't Boris his guy too? Didn't he hire Scott Boris?
I think he did.
Yeah.
Remember, he was the opposite. He signed really early last year and now he takes the qualifying offer this year. He's like the problem child client, apparently.
He's just like, dude, this is what I want to do.
This is what I want to do.
I just get it knocked out. And
you don't even need an agent to accept a qualifying
That's
offer.
The thing. What are you paying 10% for if you're just going to accept every offer they give you?
The other deadline, so the non-tender deadline is tomorrow. Padres don't have a ton of non-tender candidates. Luis Patino, who had the Tommy John surgery, is coming off of that. If you tender him a contract, then you have to pay him in arbitration for next year. So there could be some guys that they decide not to tender around the league who you don't want to offer arbitration to, and we'll know all that by tomorrow.
Is he really the only name for the Padres?
Probably.
Yeah.
That you wouldn't offer. I mean, you know, you're not Adrian Morejon, you're going to want back. I mean, most of these guys, you know, fairly arbitration, you know, while it's a pay raise, it's still way better than paying a free agent. You know, it's going to be more expensive to go out and try to buy someone on the free agent market than it is to agree to someone, you know, that's arbitration eligible. So for the most part, you want to keep those guys in the fold. But there are a few that just, hey, there's no reason to pay this guy. We don't see a future for him on the team. So we'll see what that happens. And then the other deadline coming up this week is the, what's the other deadline? Maybe it was just the non-tender one. I was looking through all of those. So we'll see those decisions coming up this week.
You're not very tender.
No. Oh, we had the Rule 5 one where they protected those earlier.
Yeah, we did that
too. We did that one already yesterday. So those are some of the, and then now there'll be, you'll see some of the, so one of the reasons why there was like a couple of trades this week is because of that deadline. You know, teams might need an extra spot on their 40-man roster, so they pick up a minor leaguer who's not on the 40-man. They trade someone away from the 40-man, helps them with the kind of the roster juggling this week. And then it might be quiet again until the winter meetings. I mean, you'll hear rumors. Obviously, big-time free agents like Juan Soto will continue to meet with teams. We heard that, what, Blake Snell has met with the Dodgers already.
I watched a little piece yesterday from our beloved Trevor Plouffe. And he was on with the dude Jake from Talking Yanks or whatever, and you know he works for John Boy Media. But he was talking about Blake Snell is the nastiest left-handed pitcher in Major League Baseball. He said, "He said, who do you want over Blake Snell?" And Jake said, "I don't know, Chris Sale." He goes, "No, not even close." He goes, "Blake Snell stuff is the nastiest in baseball." I was sitting there going, "Man, again, the perception of Blake Snell is not that." And I think it should be. And I think Eno just recently had a piece, too, or one of the guys he's affiliated with, talking about just how nasty Blake Snell's stuff is. And, again, if you could ever find a way to get creative and bring him back to a place he wants to pitch for, a guy that he wants to pitch for, that would be quite the coup for AJ Preller to bring a guy like Blake Snell back.
I think it's telling, though, that you're already hearing discussions about Blake Snell this early.
Yeah.
You know, learning the lessons from last offseason, not waiting until spring training to sign a contract. And that clearly impacted Blake Snell's season last year with the San Francisco Giants.
Massively.
And, I mean, he gets off to slow starts anyway, but he set himself up for struggles and then was outstanding in the second half of the season. Can he signs early? Will he avoid that? If he goes to a team that he's familiar with, will he avoid that, you know, normal first half up and down struggles that we see from Blake Snell? Not necessarily. I mean, you know, some guys just do better as the, you know, summer goes on, the weather warms up, whatever it is. It's just in kind of in the DNA that they get better as the season goes on. Their arm just kind of gets to that point where it just feels locked in, but it takes a while to get there. And there's really not much you can do about it. You can say, well, he should be doing more at spring training, more in the offseason. Yeah, but you don't want to wear yourself out by June or July because you did too much in the offseason. You also need to take that break.
If you're a team with playoff aspirations, I mean, yes, the games in April, May, and June are really, really important. But a lot of times they're not as important as the games in July, August, and September. They're just not. And you can,
I mean, mathematically, that's not true.
Correct. But you know what I'm saying. Like, we finished the break at 500. You know, game over 500?
Yeah.
And look at the second half of the season. If you break up the Padres season into two seasons, you treaded water, you figured it out, then you really hit your stride in the second half. So I like a second half pitcher more than I like a first half pitcher.
I think, my mind works a little bit differently. But every single game, April 4th, May 30th.
You've got to play to win.
July 7th. They're all equal to 1 out of 162.
Of course.
It doesn't matter when the games are played. If you win a bunch of games early, struggle in the second half a bit, you can make the playoffs. Obviously, the opposite is true. I know there's a thought that you want to be playing your best baseball toward the end of the season and carry that momentum into the playoffs.
Why did you finger quotes momentum?
Because momentum is not really a thing, especially in baseball.
Most egregious thing I think you've ever said in six and a half years on the radio.
The momentum is not a thing?
Yeah.
You all realize that momentum, especially in baseball, is not a thing.
I bet if you polled 100 MLB players,
it would be 100.
99 out of them would say momentum is real.
Then how do they explain the guy who is 0 for his last 15 and then goes 4 for 4 the next day? Or the guy who's on a 10-game hitting streak and then stops. I mean,
that's baseball.
Yeah, that's baseball. And baseball—that's baseball—is like the definition of the fact that it's the least momentum-impacted sport of any of them.
You don't think momentum after we didn't score for six innings didn't carry over to seven, then eight, then nine? You can also have a lack of momentum as well. Yeah. The other way, it can go. The momentum isn't always a positive thing. I know momentum moving forward, but you can have negative momentum. I think we saw it
moving backwards.
Moving backwards. What's the opposite of momentum? Dementum. That's what we had.
Unmentum
is what we had. And you know, again, the Texas Rangers, great example last year. They rode the momentum. The Dodgers bullpen.
No, they didn't. They were the. They're my argument.
Playoffs. In the playoffs.
They were a team that played their best early, then played terribly down the stretch. You would have thought they had the least momentum going into the playoffs.
But once the playoffs started.
No, they played well. I mean, I think you're equating momentum and confusing it for playing well.
No, I mean, okay.
You want to play well.
Good example
and you'd
here.
Like to yes, you want to consistently play well.
Did the Yankees lose momentum in the fifth inning of that game?
No, they played poorly in the fifth inning of that game.
All right. I mean, it's six of one, half dozen of the other, sometimes. You've done this a couple times this week.
Just because you play well one inning doesn't make you play well the next inning.
It's true. But if like a bullpen has a certain feeling that we can get guys out and it doesn't matter, we want this game, we want this series, we're going to get it, and we got it in game one, and we're going to go get it in game two. Yeah, man, give me the ball. I want it. It feels a little bit momentum-y, does it not? Did it not feel that way for the Dodgers?
That's how we perceive things
Fine.
As people.
Fine.
But there's plenty of relievers who have tons of momentum who then give up a huge home run.
Emmanuel Clase. He went dementum.
No, he didn't. He had more momentum than anybody because he's a really good pitcher. And then it doesn't explode because it wasn't the lack of momentum. It was the lack of execution.
You can't take momentum out of sports. You just can't. It kind of sums up sports. I know not everything is black and white and analytical and numbers-based, and I think that makes you nuts.
I'm not saying that...
It's not separate from playing well. Playing well and momentum kind of
go together.
Or
correct.
Playing bad and dementum.
I mean, it's good to have some confidence, and you don't want to lose confidence. But you can also control that as well. You can go 0-for-4 and not lose confidence.
Correct.
You can go 4-for-4 and you not even gain some confidence.
Correct.
You know, that's an individual perspective. If you want to try to create momentum in your own mind because you're doing well, then go ahead and use it.
So you watched the comeback, right? Did you think the Red Sox had momentum after they finally won that first game?
I thought that perhaps the Yankees started to press and panic as the Red Sox started coming back.
And I think the comeback is the momentum a little bit.
I mean, I guess it's how you define it.
It's how you define it.
It really is how you define it.
But, do you think there's momentum in golf? You're a golfer.
I mean, I certainly get in like runs where I'm feeling
rhythm.
Well.
Rhythm.
Momentum. I also randomly lose it and get it back all the time.
I know.
To the point where I don't feel like there's a lot of like, what happened to my momentum?
Yeah, where's my momentum?
And now it's gone all of a sudden. Did it really exist? If momentum just randomly appears and then disappears, is it actually really a thing or is it just a construct of your mind?
Could be. I like it, though.
All right, let's take a timeout because I didn't want to get to the guy cry movies. We teased that. So, Paulie's got the list of, and this is not, just movies that make everybody cry. Like, my wife cries at every movie.
I cry at every movie.
But these are specifically, like, ones that get to guys even more. And we'll come back with that next with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan. Certainly not, immune to getting a little emotional at a movie. But I'm not an open weeper, let's just say, for the most part. But I did walk out of Field of Dreams. I remember watching it. And I went by myself. UTC, how old would I have been? Felt like I was like 15 or 16 maybe when it came out.
No,
does that sound
younger,
about right?
I think, right?
What year did Field of Dreams come out?
I would guess 88.
89. So I was about 14. 14 when it came out.
Mom dropped you off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just, afternoon at the mall, and I said, I'm going to go, it's a baseball movie, I'm going to go see the movie. I remember walking out like,
it gets me every time.
I think it was the...
It's his dad, man.
It was the fact that, I hadn't heard anything about it. This was before social media. And I didn't see it coming. I did not see it coming.
Neither did I. They did ease his pain. It was his dad.
They did a good job in kind of misdirecting you until the end and, you know, resolving all the issues you expected to be resolved. The, you know, the ghosts in the cornfield and the farm and how they were going to save the farm. And it was good. Okay. That's good. And then they just drop it on you right at the end. Like, yeah, this is what the movie was actually about the whole time.
It's not Joe Jackson's pain from getting banned from baseball. It's not Terrence Mann's pain from, you know, loving baseball. It's his dad's pain.
Hey, Dad?
Oh, God.
You want to have a catch?
I'd like that.
I'd like that.
It's elite. Elite. It's the corniest, dumbest movie
corny.
Ever, but it's so good.
Literally corny.
So good.
But literally Pauly, corny, so yes. Pauly found a list of guy cry movies. Yeah. That's clearly got to be on it, right?
So, yeah, we'll go to traffic. Right. It stemmed from Gladiator 2 being released here soon.
Is that going to be a guy cry movie?
I don't know. The
Gladiator
first one was.
One, absolutely.
Yeah,
was.
When he loses his family. Oh, my God.
And this was, The Ringer put this list out, and I was going through. I'm like, okay, yeah. Like, look, anybody can watch Marley and Me or The Notebook and
of course,
cry. Like,
you expect to.
Guy cry, which I had not heard of this term, I guess, before. It's movies that are like the topic or the subject of the movie is more masculine, which
sure.
War, sports, cars, you know, that kind of stuff. But these movies that have scenes that will bring you to tears.
All right, we will get to those after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. It is funny how things have changed. You know, Woods, when you and I were kids, and certainly when our parents were kids, guys were not supposed to cry. And now I almost feel like I don't cry enough.
You don't.
Like, I am not. I would be more manly if I cried a little bit
You're
more.
You're bunched up.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's really flipped on like a complete 180.
Yeah.
It's like more, like to be able to show your emotions, that's strong.
Thank you.
And hiding Appreciate them it. All inside, that's the opposite now. So yeah, let the tears flow.
Let it flow.
No,
somebody
no
said
worries
in the,
about
in
it.
The chat, tears are the lube of life. Let's sit on that for a while.
Interesting.
Yeah. Fire away, Paul.
All right, so going through this list, they name the movie, they talk about why it made it onto the list, and then they have the guy cry meter, like the actual moment or scene in the movie. I don't believe either of you guys have seen their number one guy cry movie, and that was Furious 7, Fast and the Furious.
Are wow. you effing kidding? Who made this list?
You know what?
I assume there's a moment.
I saw the movie, and I can
you
absolutely...
You saw Fast and the Furious 7?
So yeah. So,
7?
Yeah.
Did you see the first 6 to set up the 7?
I saw the first, like, 2.
And then you skipped right to 7?
Waited 12 years or something like that. I got really sick for like a weekend a couple years back, and the HBO or Stars, whatever, one of those channels, they had like a Fast and the Furious marathon, and I had not seen any of the movies in between that had like Jason Statham, The Rock, all these movies. I was like, you know what? I'll give it a chance, and watched, you know, Fast 5, and said, okay, I'll keep it going. I'll watch Fast 6. Fast 7 or Furious 7, that was the movie that production got halted because of Paul Walker's
that's
death.
That's why. Gotcha. All right. Makes sense.
And they had to, like, I think they used his brother in some scenes, and they used a lot of CGI.
Yeah.
And I guess there are going to be spoiler alerts in some of these movies, but there's the final scene where him and Vin Diesel, they're in their cars, and, I mean, his death, like, just crushed
Does he
Vin
die
Diesel.
In the movie?
No. They're driving, and there's... And he's like, you'll always be my family. And he goes the other way, and they're playing...
And I took the one less traveled.
They played the Wiz Khalifa song. I think it's called See You Again. It's been a long time.
Makes
See
me want to
you
die.
Again. Yeah. So that was the number one. Armageddon made it onto the list.
All right. I see that.
I didn't really... I saw the movie. I wouldn't have put that on my list. Interstellar.
Which
yeah.
one was that?
That's McConaughey.
Oh, that's good.
And... It was emotional at the end when he reunites with his daughter, who's now older than he is because of the black hole's effects.
Goodwill Hunting.
Oh, kills me.
That's a
what
Woods
scene
one
do you think?
For sure.
Oh,
it's not your fault. Every time.
Yeah.
Every time. It murders me.
Yeah, that was absolutely the scene from Goodwill Hunting.
I got to go see about a girl. badass. It's one of my favorite movies.
Click from Adam Sandler.
Ooh, Click's a good movie.
I haven't seen that one.
It's the remote. It's the dad that's getting too caught up into work, and he's missing out on all this stuff with his family.
Yeah, weeping at this movie.
Click is really good.
When he fast-forwards through his life.
Because, you know, it's a dad.
Yeah.
Right.
What's a dad?
Right. Family Man, is that on there?
Family Man did not
make the list. It's the same thing. Click's a really good movie.
Number six was Braveheart. Number seven, one of my favorite movies. I don't think it's ever made me cry. Shawshank Redemption.
Now, what would be the moment?
Oh, when he gets out.
No, that's a happy moment.
Well, the author of this story said, the guy cry meter, I spell out Brooks was here with all the discarded tissues that I used during the movie.
Didn't bother me. I kind of saw that coming.
Yeah.
Great when movie. When the kid gets shot.
Ooh,
that's pretty
Tommy?
Sad. Yeah.
Yeah, that was sad.
That was sad.
The Green Mile.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that one kind of gets you when he's so old and then you find
tired.
No, I think it's the old Tom Hanks in the retirement home and knowing that all of those people have died and he's still
himself.
Going he's going to be alone again and the new friends that he make they'll be gone and he's still by himself. Going on, that's what gets me in the Green Mile.
That movie kicked ass.
Now, I know Woods never saw this movie in 1999. I'm curious now that you have children if you've seen The Iron Giant.
No, never heard of it.
That made the list. It's a cartoon movie. I think it was Disney. Cartoon movie, this like alien robot creature lands, befriends a little boy.
Yeah, I saw E.T.
Sacrifices himself for the boy. It's very sad.
Sacrifices himself in front of the boy.
Terminator 2 Judgment Day.
What?
Number 11 on the list.
With Robert Patrick? And the Guns N' Roses theme song? I don't think so.
No.
Boys in the Hood. Field of Dreams.
Yeah.
Saving Private Ryan.
Oh, yeah.
E.T.
Yeah.
Oh, this one.
Got me when I was little.
Mm-hmm. I Am Legend, Will Smith, 2007.
I only saw it once. I don't remember. It was in my dark period.
The whole movie's pretty tough. I mean, it's a guy by himself, basically.
Yeah.
You know, there's the zombies, but I mean, he's like one of the last living people on the planet, and he has his dog.
Oh, his dog dies.
And
the dog dies.
Yeah.
That gets everybody.
Yeah, every time.
And then wrapping up the top 20, Logan. No, did not see that one. Warrior from 2011.
No.
Never heard of it.
The Iron Claw. That one came out last year.
Oh, so that was the wrestling movie.
I didn't like it that much.
And then the inspiration for the list actually came in at number 20 was Gladiator.
Yeah, I can see it.
Goose says Castaway when Wilson floats away.
Gutted me the first time I saw it.
Did it?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think.
I don't know that I actually cried. It's very emotional.
Tom Hanks overdoes it a little bit.
What?
I'm not as huge of a Tom Hanks fan as everybody else.
You are.
No crying in baseball.
Wilson,
that's the same thing. It's
bro,
the same scene.
The guy was on an island by himself. With all he had was his volleyball.
I get it. I understand the concept of it.
What are you doing today with this whole
thing? Yeah, what is going on
thing?
With you? I'm not as big a Tom Hanks.
I'm why LeBron got off social media, apparently.
You are something else. The
momentum's not a real thing.
Adam's right. It is when he gets home and realizes that his lady has moved on.
That's tough.
That's a tough one.
That's more than the volleyball.
When he looks in and sees her hugging that dude, Mr. Big from Sex and the City.
Yeah.
And he's like, did I really just rot
James
on an island?
Spalding?
Yeah, yeah. My doctor's name is James Spalding. That is gut-wrenching. And it's like, you trollop, how dare you? I just rotted on an island. I've lost 75 pounds.
She thought he was dead.
Still.
She moved on. She had
apparently.
To.
Apparently. Feels real good, I guess. Man.
We got a Rylan report and more coming up next year on The Fan.